duty. Steve Kay here, your mechanic on duty in the Americana Garage. That's powerful stuff, and that happens to be the name of the record, too. Brand new music from Webb Wilder from Hattiesburg, Mississippi, originally. The new record is, as I said, called Powerful Stuff. It's a collection of unreleased gems from his heyday. And we just heard No Great Shakes and New Day from that new record. Webb's also got a show coming up next week in town, and he's going to tell you all about that as we have him on the phone. Webb, how's it going, man?
Good, Steve. How are you?
I'm doing great, man. I'm living the dream, playing music.
Well, we like hearing that.
Yeah, man, playing music and talking to you. It's been a while. We've talked before.
But are you practicing the Webb Wilder credo, which, as you know, is work hard, rock hard, eat hard, sleep hard, grow big, wear glasses if you need them?
Well, I do all those things. As a matter of fact, I sometimes do them simultaneously, so.
Yeah, there you go.
This record, man, this is a power pop album. It reminds me of why I love power pop so much.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. You know, whatever you want to call it, if you like it, it's actually a bunch of different things, because those tracks were never meant to be on a record together. In fact, they were kind of never meant to come out at all, but having done this for over 30 years, I started looking around at all this stuff that was just wasted. You know,
right.
All this is old stuff, folks, those of you who just tuned in.
Yeah.
You know, the oldest recording on there is from 1985, and the newest is from 93.
Mm-hmm.
There are 16 tracks, and about 12 of them have brand new mixes, which really helped them.
Yes.
And some of them are studio, some of them are live, but I mean, you know, like the one you're just playing really is kind of power pop, and that's really kind of a prototype version of the version we would release later, which had different lyrics, different session, everything, you know.
Right.
And so it was an eye-opener for me to go back into the vault, as it were, and kind of rediscover, and in some cases discover, because I'd forgotten we even recorded some of these things.
Amazing, and it's great stuff. I mean, and it is new music, because it's unheard. So if it's unheard, it's new music, you know?
Yeah, like No Great Shakes, which you just played, is a good example. Like, people may see that title,
right,
and think, oh, I've heard that, but no, you haven't heard that version. So there's three, maybe four of those where you've seen the title before, but it's a radically different version.
Right. And how much stuff did you have to sift through to come up with these 16 tracks? Was there a lot of stuff in the vaults there?
Yeah, and there's actually some more, believe it or not. But
ooh, volume two.
After 16, you kind of go like, okay, that's pretty good.
We're talking double
album. Some of it I knew about, and some of it was kind of like the joy of discovery, you know? I mean, these are 2-inch analog tapes.
Right.
And they have to be baked and then transferred. So, you know, you try to, and they charge you by the song, you know? So you have to sort of, and I'm, you know, not rolling in Rick Springfield's money or whatever, so you know, you have to be careful. And but in some cases we get them baked and then we transfer them and we go, oh wow, how about that, you know, because sometimes we do the whole reel,
right?
And
right.
And other times we wouldn't. So it's been quite a thing to discover. And he's probably listening now. I used to call him the unofficial archivist. Now I call him the official Webb Wilder archivist, Hunter Goatley.
Okay.
Has collected bootlegs and stuff for years, and he provided some of the stuff, too.
So he's been promoted.
Yeah, he has.
All right, well, cool.
The money's the same. The pay's the same.
Yeah, ain't that always the way? But
yeah.
Well, congratulations to him on the upgrade. But that's great, man. And it's a great collection of songs, and as you said, there might be a volume two coming at some point, and
I would like to see that. And you know, for one thing, I always and Michael Rothschild with Landslide Records has been great to me, and of course his label put this out. They put out my first album the first time it came out.
Mm-hmm.
And some others, and I keep telling him, I said, you know, for every, the first album was called It Came from Nashville.
Yes.
And we arrived at that title because back then, if you were a rock band, which by default we were, they said, oh, if you're from Nashville, don't tell anybody.
Right, right.
There was what I call the hillbilly stigma back then.
Yeah, got to have a steel guitar, you know?
Yeah, you can't be from Nashville and play rock and roll, or so they said. So we said, oh, okay, and called the album It Came from Nashville. But I was telling him, I said, for every studio recording on it, because it's a mixture of live and studio, for every studio recording on It Came from Nashville, there's a really good kick-ass recorded on 24-track mobile recording live version.
Right.
And one day I'd like to see those see some daylight, too, because they're really good, and we could mix them. They're multi-track.
Yeah, yeah. And you just got a shout-out from Paste Magazine for that first record.
I was very proud of that. You know, what worked in our favor is that it was like the top 50 Southern rock albums of all time. And,
right.
And as Southerners, we know that Southern rock is a lot of different things.
Yes.
So, but anyway, so we were in the 40s. But what that meant was that they printed it online in reverse order. So we were one of the first titles you saw.
Well, that's all you want.
Yeah, because people might have, you know, gotten tired of scrolling by the time they got to about 30.
Exactly. Oh, perfect, perfect. I'm glad you got the shout out there, man. You deserve it. You're going to be
finally after dozens of copies were sold.
Yes. Well, we're going to try to make sure that doesn't that kind of bumps up from there, man. You got a show coming up, and you're going to be playing some of this stuff live, aren't you? Probably all of it, right?
No. Well, yes and no. Like we play the other version of No Great Shakes because it's the one that came out in '96 and the
right.
one we've always done, for instance,
sure.
And we'll probably do Lost in the Shuffle, and we'll probably do New Day. And New Day was one of the ones that I was really got excited about because I'd written that with Terry Anderson, who wrote some things for the Georgia Satellites and for Dan Baird, and
okay.
it had just kind of never come out, of course, like all this stuff. And with a new mix, it really brightened up. And so, yeah, we'll probably play that one and maybe some others. I don't know, but... But mainly, I just wanted to make this stuff available, you
right.
know, and so, you know, you sort of have to play, thank God I have any songs people care about, but you sort of have to play Human Cannonball and Poolside and some of that stuff, you know.
Yeah. And Animal Lover, yeah, that's usually always part of your live set, isn't it?
No, it's not, and you know, the funny thing is, we used to do that in the early days of the band in like 85 or 6, and people loved it, and we got tired of doing it because we had sort of over-arranged it. You know, it's like
right.
when they asked Keith Richards about Midnight Rambler, he said, well, leave it to us to make an opera out of the blues.
Exactly. You know? Yeah.
And that's kind of what we did. We sort of made a rock opera out of it. We sort of bored ourselves. So I thought the least we could do is go back and find the recording of it, which has never been out there, because people love novelty songs, and it's
right.
one of those great Bobby Field novelty songs.
Yeah.
And mix it, you know, try to get as much 80s out of it as we could, and then put a new mix on it and put it out. But we won't be playing that one.
Right. Okay. Well, that fair warning, folks. You have a rabid fan base, and they're going to love stuff like... I mean, they eat up stuff like this. I know when I love an artist, I want to hear everything they've done. And this is going to be a real treat for those fans that have followed you all these years.
I think so, because if you dig the stuff, and God bless the people who do, this is all the in-between the stuff you dug, you know, because... you know, 85 to 93, that means these were the things that were getting recorded along the way that fall into the time frame but never came out. So you
get
sort of like what Paul Harvey used to say, the other side of the story. What do you say, the rest of the story?
That's right, the rest of the... And now you know the rest of the story.
Yeah.
And this show next week is August 31st. That's Friday night, and it's at the Vista Room, which is
right.
up in Oak Grove, right up on, go up Claremont Road and hit Claremont at La Vista, and it's in that area. It's attached to Napoleon's French Restaurant.
Wow.
Yeah, so you might have a really interesting backstage buffet going on there, some foie gras maybe, and some flaming desserts. And
that would be good. Michelle Malone is on the bill, too. It's kind of a co-bill, and of course, you know, you take the two M's and turn them upside down, you got WW, so it's...
how about that?
The consonants alone are powerful.
Have you ever run into her over the years? She's a treasure, man.
Yes, I met her, I think, I don't know why we didn't meet sooner, but I met her at the 30A Songwriter Festival down in the Panhandle of Florida a few years ago.
Great, great. She comes from your era. She started recording right around the same time you did, and had a major label debut on Arista Records, and basically told them to go take a hike because they were trying to turn her into Joan Jett, their version of Joan Jett.
Yeah.
And from that moment on, she just kept making her own records on her own label. So, and she succeeded at it.
Well, God bless her. She's really talented. I look forward to seeing and hearing her. And, you know, I think that'd be a great way for folks to kick off Labor Day weekend with a, you know, Jill Malone Webb Wilder show.
Absolutely. That's the Vista Room. That's August 31st. It's the last day of the month, by the way, at the Vista Room. That's up at Claremont Road in La Vista. You can Google it, in the Oak Grove area of Atlanta. And Webb Wilder from Hattiesburg, Mississippi, a member of the Mississippi Music Hall of Fame. You've been inducted.
I was amazed that happened because, you know, you can kind of never make it in your hometown.
Exactly.
And of course, I haven't lived in Mississippi since 84. I think,
right.
but in Nashville, you know. But I tell you what, man, when Mississippi, man, when it comes to joining the ranks of iconic artists who hail from there. Come on, Muddy Waters, yeah. Elvis Presley. I mean, on and on and on.
Yes.
So I mean, it's you know, just a big, big honor. And I kind of felt bad about whoever I won out against because they deserve to be in there too. I mean, they put me in the same night as people that I don't even deserve to be in the same breath with, like no fooling, like Elmore James.
Oh my God.
And Delaney Bramlett. You
know? Okay. I didn't know. I didn't know he was from Mississippi.
Yeah, I think he's from northern Mississippi, and of course Elmore was from somewhere around Canton or Jackson. And you know, my aunt and uncle were already in. It's the Mississippi Musicians Hall of Fame. They were already in there because they recorded Elmore James and Sonny Boy Williamson back in the day on their trumpet label.
Interesting.
Yeah.
What's that place like? What's the Mississippi Music Hall of Fame like?
Well, sadly, you know, Mississippi and Arkansas used to take turns being the poorest states in the union, you know.
Yeah.
And that's just a shame, you know, but it's true. And so there is no brick-and-mortar building.
Okay.
So there is a roster, and they periodically have ceremonies and stuff. And like I say, I was just super honored to be in there because, I mean, you know, you're just joining the ranks of just about everybody you can name. I mean, it you know, like I just heard a thing today.
Right.
By Robbie Fulks and Linda Gale Lewis, and it's an old song. I don't know if Robbie wrote it or it's actually an old song called It Came from the South.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, it did come from the South, you know, be it Mississippi, Alabama, Louisiana, Texas, you know, jazz, rhythm and blues, rock and roll, honky-tonk, rockabilly, blues, it all came from the South, so Mississippi has a big roster. You know, Hank Williams came from Alabama,
right?
So that's a big lick right there, and Texas and Louisiana, you know, forget about it, they got a big roster too, but, you know, Mississippi, I mean, particularly around Clarksdale, there must have been something in the water. Many, many, many of the great bluesmen came from around Clarksdale.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And then there's, like, the Hill Country, which is R.L. Burnside and all those people, and...
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it's definitely blues territory. And we are speaking with Webb Wilder, rock and roller, coming to town next week. He's got a new record out called Powerful Stuff. He's going to be appearing at the Vista Room. That's up in the Oak Grove area, Claremont Road, La Vista Road. That's happening Friday night, August 31st. Last day of the month. Check out Webb Wilder along with Michelle Malone. I'm sure you listen to music, Webb, and... Any new bands grab you? Is there any new rock and roll happening that really grabs you or you want to give a shout-out to?
Well, you know, let me think. You know, I'm doing a radio show myself, and it's an Americana chart show, so I heard a lot of this stuff today. Will Kimbrough just did an album on Shamika Copeland, you know, who is the great Texas bluesman, Johnny Copeland's daughter.
Okay.
And there's a track on there called You Got the Wrong Idea that sounds like her singing with NRBQ or something. It's really good.
That's cool.
And my buddy Matt Ross Spang, who works a lot now out of the old Sam Phillips studio, the one Sam built after Sun, but you walk in, it's like a time capsule of 1961. He's doing a lot of great stuff over there. He did an album on a girl named Nikki Bloom, and there's a track on there called The Things I've Done, and it really rocks. And Lake Street Dive is a great band.
I just saw this
band on TV last night, Greta Van Fleet.
Mm-hmm.
And they're not all that original. They want to be Led Zeppelin really bad.
Yeah, they're like a classic rock band, yeah.
They can pretty much do it is the thing, and they're pretty good at it, so I'll give them credit for that.
As a matter of fact, I saw Nikki Bloom a couple of months ago open up for Bruce Hornsby out here in Atlanta.
Wow.
Yeah, and she was pretty cool. She's tall. She's a tall drink of water, as they say.
I've not met her. Another thing that's kind of exciting is, you know, this is the 50th anniversary of everything that happened in 1968, and I mean that includes, you know, Sitting on the Dock of the Bay, the first Led Zeppelin album, Arthur by the Kinks, Tommy by the Who, and Sweetheart of the Rodeo by the Byrds. And now, getting rave reviews online and everywhere for folks who are attending these Sweetheart of the Rodeo anniversary shows, where you have McGuinn and Hillman from the Byrds, backed up by Marty Stewart and the Fabulous Superlatives.
Wow.
And I would love to see one of those shows.
That's a band, the Fabulous Superlatives. They can play.
They're unbelievable. We did a show with them. There was a Mississippi Night during Americana Fest a few years ago, and I actually hosted it, and it was me and my band and Paul Thorne and his band and Marty and his guys and Luther Dickinson and a bunch of folks. And, man, Marty and them were like, Merle Haggard's band, The Strangers, and Buck Owens' band, The Buckaroos, all rolled into one. You know, it was really
great.
Wow.
It's like a flashback.
Yeah, they were great.
And your band, well, your previous band was called The Beatniks. Still call them The Beatniks?
Yeah, well, you know, I think it's a brilliant play on words that came from the mind of Bobby Field, but it's invariably gotten wrong, and people call us the Beatniks. You know,
yes.
Like, no, no goatees, no bongos, you know.
Right.
And
right.
It's been a bit of an albatross, so for a while we called ourselves the Nash Vegans, and people didn't get that either.
Right.
And now Nashville's becoming Las Vegas, so it's kind of an apt term. But
right.
We eventually just gave up and went back to the Beatniks and just said, okay, it's the name of the band.
Yeah, yep. And those who know what it is will know what it is, and those who won't will keep screwing it up. So,
yeah, it's the subtle phonetic difference in the
yes.
short E and the short I.
Oh, man. So what's next? What project is next for you? I know you're touring behind this new record and you're doing a bunch of shows, but...
Well, the new albums I make that are new recordings wind up being the dribs and drabs efforts of several years, and that's the way the last two were. More Like Me and Mississippi Modern, and I'm doing that. So actually, tomorrow,
okay.
I'm going out to George Bradfute's Tone Chaparral studio and chipping away at the recordings we're working on that hopefully will come out in the not too distant future.
Okay,
as a new album.
Very cool. Mississippi Modern came out in 2015, also on Landslide Records, and we've been playing that quite frequently down here. Got a copy
oh,
in my hand
so
right
much.
Now. Yeah, well, it's a great record, especially A Rough and Tumble Guy. That's one of the ones I keep going to, and Too Much Sugar for a Nickel is another one I go to pretty frequently.
Oh, thanks so much. You know, Rough and Tumble Guy came along kind of late in the recording process, and longtime bass player, Tom Comet, was so glad. He said, we've been needing a song like this. You know, that's the advantage of, in a way, I miss the old days where we'd get a budget from a record company, we'd camp out in a studio for
right.
a month or 6 weeks and make a record.
Right.
But it doesn't work that way anymore, and one of the pluses about it is you do have time to mull it over. And
sure.
something good, you never know what's going to come along, so Rough and Tumble Guy kind of came along late in the process.
I gotcha. And I understand you'll probably be performing some of those songs live too as well, right?
Oh, I'm sure we'll be doing some stuff for Mississippi Modern.
Excellent.
You know, there's a song on there I wrote with Dan Penn called Only a Fool.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I was so thrilled to write with him, because he's such a legend. And we had written that song many years prior, and I don't know why it took me all that time to getting around to record it. But,
yeah,
we'll be doing some of that stuff. And there's a song called that we always do called If It Ain't Broke, Don't Fix It.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that's a good one, too. Very,
thank you.
Very, very cool. We are speaking with Webb Wilder, rock and roller, originally from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. He's got a new record out. It's a bunch of unreleased gems from the heyday, 1985 to 1993, and it's called Powerful Stuff. You'll be hearing some of that next Friday night when he hits the Vista Room, which is at Napoleon's Restaurant up in the Oak Grove area of Atlanta. Just go up to the corner of Claremont and La Vista, and you'll be pretty damn close to it. And we're really looking forward to your appearance, Webb, and always a pleasure talking to you. And
thank you, Steve. I really appreciate this big hunk of your time.
Oh, well, it's a hunk well spent, my friend, because we're going to be playing this record very frequently throughout the summer and fall, because it's got great stuff on it.
Well, I really appreciate that. We take a lot of pride in making them, and they're kind of like, making records and releasing them is kind of like putting messages in bottles and throwing them in the ocean.
Right.
You really never know who's going to get them or when.
Well, people.
I appreciate you doing what you're doing to help that get out there.
Well, people have been, forecasting the demise of the CD for years now, and people are still making them because you got to have something to sell at a gig, right?
Yeah, and I just saw an interview with McCartney where, and those guys like McCartney and Jagger, they're old, but they're really more in tune with everything current than I am. They're all about the technology and the hit-making artists.
Right.
McCartney worked with Kanye and all these things, but he was saying his new album, which is called, Egypt Station or
something like that? Yeah.
That he deliberately made it to be listened to as an album.
Right.
And the Beatles, they ruined my mind for all that. I think an album is, the album as art form is great. I think
yes.
that's where it's at.
Yep.
And another thing they did that's been a blessing and a curse for me, they were very successful doing it, but their albums from track to track, you know, were very eclectic, you know, and the genres jumped from genre to genre. And I've always done that with my records, you know, but by the time I started making records, the powers that be kind of wanted you to sound one way so they could market you that way.
Right. So there's that albatross off your neck, which is one of the good things of self-recording now, or, you know, working with a sympathetic label.
Oh, yeah, and Landslide has been great to sort of let me do what I want to do. But, you know, the thing about the Beatles is they couldn't have been more successful.
Right, I know.
And they couldn't have been more critically acclaimed, so it's like following their example in that regard, you know.
Yeah.
Can't sing like McCartney or anything, but, I mean, you know, they did Till There Was You and Roll Over Beethoven.
Right.
You know, seems like a good idea to me.
Absolutely. Well said. Well, listen, how about picking a track from the new record to walk you out on? We've already heard New Day and No Great Shakes. Which one would you want to go out on, Webb?
Lost in the Shuffle is pretty darn good. Got horns.
Okay.
And then Ain't That a Lot of Love is pretty good, so you choose between those.
Okay, well, geez, I just happen to have Lost in the Shuffle queued up, so why don't we go with that one?
Great, thanks.
And we're glad you ain't lost in the shuffle, my friend. We're keeping you alive down here, and I'm glad you're still out there doing what you're doing, and I know the Webheads are, too.
The Grateful Webs.
The Grateful Webs. Once again, Webb Wilder, check this guy out. He's amazing. He's going to be appearing at the Vista Room in Atlanta on Friday, August 31st. That's up in Oak Grove, Claremont Road, La Vista area, at Napoleon's Restaurant. And the new record is called Powerful Stuff. Webb, thanks so much, and love what you do. We're going to keep it going, man.
Thank you, Steve. I really appreciate all the support.
My pleasure. And we will see you Friday night, and you have safe travels.
Fantastic. I look forward to seeing you.
Take care, man. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.